Ever wish you could just go online and check out nutrition data for all of the packaged food out there? A project at the Agriculture Department is aiming to create that very online database. It's called the New Open Data Partnership for Public Health. Joining me with more, Dr. Pamela Stark-Reed, Deputy Administrator for Nutrition, Food Safety, and Quality at the Agricultural Research Service. Dr. Stark-Reed, good to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here and talk about this project.
What are the sources of the data that are going into this database?
The sources of the data are the data that's coming directly from manufacturers. So anyone who's producing food that ends up in our grocery stores, we're working with them to get the data from their labels and the packaging information to be able to come right into the database for us.
Is that something they could just send in on their own, or does it have to go through the ARS to get into the database?
Well, the database is the ARS database, so they would have to send it to ARS. They can, and they have in the past. This actually, let me just mention that this database is something that's been ongoing for over 100 years. When it first started, it was just done through file cards and a filing system. And now we've got it electronic through the computer, and it's in a big database, which is publicly accessible. And so we've been collecting data on all kinds of foods and products. And what we wanted to do is we've had manufacturers' data before, but never at the extent that we're starting now to import it into the database. So what they do is they need to work through the partnership that we've developed to send the data in, and it goes through kind of a quality control to make sure the data all lines up in the right place so that you get the nutrients values in the right columns in the database. And then once the quality control is done, it actually goes right into the database and is ready for anyone from the public, from researchers, policymakers, for anyone to go in and look at.
Now, there are 80,000 items on there, I guess, initially.
Initially.
Right.
Sure.
What is the universe of possible items that could be included eventually?
Well, let me just say that before this project began, we had about 8,000 units, items with the nutrient content in our database. And once we opened this portal to the manufacturers, the first flow of data that came through dumped about 80,000 items into the database. So we went tenfold increase in our information in the database. The data, the universe is going to be any products that are out there in our grocery store, anything that's available to the public to purchase should eventually end up in the database. And that includes not just our the brand name, manufacturer's data, but there's also something that we call private label, and that would be items that come in through, for example, our local grocery stores have their own named items, like Giant has Giant items, and Safeway has Safeway, Target, Walmart, et cetera. So those are the private label items. We anticipate having those in there. We are working with a company, and one of our partners is GS1, and they are worldwide. So we also anticipate getting items in there from around the world. So we'll have international items because, as you probably know, food and food intake now isn't just from our country. It's actually global. We get food from everywhere. And in addition to that, we're also looking forward to actually getting some chain restaurant data in there so that on top of just what you find in the grocery store, eventually we're going to also put restaurant data in there as well.
So it sounds like there's a good opportunity for harmonization of the way this is all reported locally in different industries so that it's easily imported into this kind of master database.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons that we work with our partner GS1 is because the industry has reported all kinds of data and information to GS1. Much of that is on marketing and sales, et cetera, but now they've actually expanded their intake of the data to include some of the fields that we need for the nutrition. So this is just expanding and utilizing a system that was already in place for manufacturers to report information, but now they're expanding it to include the nutrient information, which GS1 helps flow into our database.
We're speaking with Dr. Pamela Stark-Reed, Deputy Administrator for Nutrition, Food Safety, and Quality at the Agricultural Research Service. The way you describe the possible items that will eventually, we hope, get into this database, it sounds like millions and millions and millions.
Well, 1 million is what we're targeting initially. I can't say how many items will eventually be in there. And what's even more incredible about this is that we're going to actually be archiving some of the items, because as they go out of production, we still need to have access to those items and the information in there, because if you wanted to do, say, a retrospective study where you wanted to look back at what people had been eating over a period of time, you might have to go back and look at things that are no longer on the shelf but were during the time frame that you want to look at. So it's going to be a tremendously large database, getting into the whole realm of big data.
I guess it's too late to capture Sanka.
We could
Which
go
has
back.
No nutritional value.
We could go back and get the label from Sanka. It's probably available, and we could have it put in there.
And what about mobility? Because it seems like this would be something that people would want to use on the go when they're actually out shopping.
Oh, sure. This is actually already available. When you go to Google certain nutrients that you want to say, for example, what's in this particular cereal that I'm eating, you would go to Google, and Google actually goes to the ARS database to get their information for that. So it's fully available now on your iPhone, and it's, you know, if you want to go find out what's going on in the grocery store, pull out your iPhone, and you can Google and look at it.
I guess you could also pick up the item and read the label, but that's no fun.
Well, you can do that, but what's even more interesting to be able to use this database is you can actually search on several different items that are very similar and make comparisons and contrasts right there in front of you, so you can get a better idea of which particular product you want to go for.
So it could be one that's not even in that store, but you really want that other one, so you could say, well, I'll put this back and go find the one I really want.
Correct.
Briefly, if you can, just tell me about the technical underpinnings of this. Is this something that is housed in a USDA data center? Is it in a cloud? How do you maintain this big apparatus?
Well, right now, the ARS nutrient database is housed on a huge server that we have through the National Ag Library, which is part of USDA. At this point, that server can contain the information that we have, and we anticipate the server being able to contain quite a bit more. As I said, we're moving up. We have 80,000 items now. We're expecting it to, within the next year, go up to probably, you know, up to 500,000 items. We can probably have most of that on what we have with the library right now. We will anticipate needing some storage capacity, and so we've been discussing the options, one of which is cloud storage, and we want to make sure that things are accessible so that if it's something that's put into cloud, that the cloud storage, that people need to find that, they can actually have it drawn down rather easily. But it is, again, going into the whole realm of big data, because we do anticipate having huge storage needs for this.
I was wondering if there's the possibility of having, say, recall or other danger type of information embedded in there, too. That would be from a different source.
That is probably not what we're going to put in, because a recall information is really more in terms of the regulatory issues. And so someone like FDA would have the need and the response for that. And we're a research agency, so we put out scientific research and things that will help the researchers as well as help the general public. But our domain isn't in any part of regulatory or policy, so that would really come out from one of those other agencies.
And getting to that big data issue, if all of the information on everything from mayonnaise to, Lord knows, baby food is all in there, it seems like there are an unlimited number of questions that someone could ask of the whole data set and find all kinds of trends in food that maybe we don't know about now.
Sure. That we anticipate a huge number of research projects coming out of that. As you said, you can ask so many different types of questions. You can look at trends in the way people are consuming foods and what types of foods are being put together. And, you know, our hope eventually is to be working with the health agencies also to look at what people are purchasing, what's in their food, and that how that may relate to certain health outcomes.
Well, I was disappointed to find that Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise Extra Heavy is 100% fat. So I think I may be making a switch there myself.
We hope the public and we hope folks will use this to make better choices and the best choices they can for their own personal health.
Dr. Pamela Stark-Reed is Deputy Administrator for Nutrition, Food Safety, and Quality at the Agricultural Research Service. Thanks so much for joining me.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And we'll post a link to the database along with this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.